Amen. Well, good morning. And good morning to everybody that's watching online. We're starting a new series, as Pastor JP said. It's called Living God's Best Life. I want to start this morning with a really simple question. How many of you have ever said or heard someone say in any setting, boy, this is the life? You ever said that to yourself? Or maybe you didn't say it like that. Maybe you said, I could do this more often. You know, it's usually when you're in a beautiful setting and I don't know, maybe you have a Corona or a cocktail or something in your hand and, you know, there's no obstacles, right? It's kind of like there's no obstacles, there's no adversity. You're in a setting, you're in a place where you want to be. And it's usually when the life, quote unquote, is when you're taking a vacation from your real life. Isn't that ironic? It's kind of like, because 5% of life, if you looked at the pie of your life and you went, okay, 5% of it I'm going to spend doing super fun stuff and going on vacation and all that stuff. And then you know what? 5% of life, man, there's disease, there's sickness, there's hard things, there's, man, that's really the valleys of life. But life in the middle is really where we live it, right? That's where 90% of it is lived, right? Kind of in the peanut butter and jelly bread and butter of life, right? And that is where we really need to live God's best life, don't we? Because that's where we spend most of the time. Right, as in our normal everyday life. And when we think about living God's best life, that should be the best life because we're created by God, we're created for God, we're going back to God. And when we live out God's best life, all we're saying is that we're living out his best intentions for us. In fact, that's what a creator wants for the things that he creates. He wants you to fulfill the purpose for which you were created. And so when you're fulfilling the purpose for which you were created, which we're going to talk about this morning, that's when you encounter and possess God's best life. Now, here's the problem. I know a lot of Christians who aren't experiencing God's best life. In fact, there's a gap between their words and their ways, their beliefs and their behaviors, their actions and their intentions. There's this gap. And it's a head scratcher for a lot of us. I fall into that category. Sometimes there's a gap between the life I know I possess in Christ and my experience and expression of that life. Anybody with me? Sometimes there's a gap. And that's where God wants us to go from possession to expression. Did you catch the onomatopoeia there? All right. To go from possessing a life in Christ. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. And I have him in my life. To go from that to actually experiencing and expressing that very best life that God has for us. And so that's what every follower of Christ should want. To close that gap from possessing a life in Christ and knowing him and actually experiencing it and expressing it. And that's what the book of Ephesians is all about. As Pastor JP mentioned in his introduction, the phrase in him is mentioned 30 times in the book of Ephesians. And that goes to the location of where your best life is. So we're gonna do three things every time we get together, and you're gonna say them with me. First, say discover, trust, transform. Okay, so we're gonna discover what is that best life. Then we're gonna see that behind every blessing that God talks about in that life, there's a belief that we have to trust. We have to actually take action on the blessings and lives that has been given us to God, by God. And then when we take action, all right, on those beliefs that come from our blessings in Christ, that's when we transform. And when you transform, that's when you actually move from possession of a relationship with God to actually experiencing the power and freedom and healing of God. Anybody want that? I do. And so that's where we're on this journey together as a community of believers, because what reflects my heart toward God is not me seeking truth. We're all here and we're all seeking truth, the truth of Christ for our lives. But what reflects my heart toward God is when I trust and respond to the truth that I hear. That's what really reflects my heart toward God. Just like, hey, if you're parents and you tell your kids to do something, what reflects their heart? Them hearing you say the truth or them responding? Responding. God's the same way. And he's looking for us as a community, as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as part of his family, not just to seek truth, but to apply the truth. In fact, when God started giving his will to his people through Moses, in Deuteronomy 29, it says, the secret things belong to God, but that which is revealed belongs to us, that we may follow all the words of this law. What is God saying? It says the purpose of revelation is application. Can we say that together? The purpose of revelation is application. That's right. That's when you go from possession of a relationship with God and stepping into a relationship with Christ to actually experiencing the freedom and the healing and the purpose and the power of God flooding every space of your life. And so that's what we're gonna do in this series. And so if you have a Bible, you're gonna wanna open it to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're gonna dig in and dig deep into God's word. If you have a Bible, open it to Ephesians chapter 1. What we're gonna do is we're gonna read the passage, okay? We're gonna take the time and read the passage, and then we're gonna go verse by verse, seeking to discern and discover what the treasure and what the blessing is. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And this is the word of the Lord. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at this theme, all right, that the believer has been overwhelmed by God. I don't know that when your eyes rested on that passage, or you read it, or you saw it on the screen, or you just even heard it, blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And where do we find that blessing? In Christ, right? That's gonna be a big theme. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna look at every verse or set of verses. And as we go through these verses, after every verse or couple verses, we're gonna identify a point of application, all right? Because the purpose of revelation, let's see if you are listening, is application. That's right. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a couple verses or a verse, and then we're going to glean an application from that verse. And you're going to fall into a couple categories. You're going to be, hey, I'm applying that one. And some of you are going to go, I'm not applying that one. All right. And some of you are like, I'm not applying any of them. All right. Doesn't matter. The goal of hearing the truth is to receive it for yourself and go, where does that fit in my now life? And then make a commitment to apply it in your life. So let's look at verses 1 and 2, right? I'm going to reread it, and then we'll unpack it, all right? Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what do you hear over and over again in that passage? Christ. That's right. So Paul identifies himself with Christ. Paul identifies believers as the faithful. He attaches a description, the faithful in Christ. And then he says, this is where your blessings come from. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so very simply, it's a pastoral greeting. It's the way a pastor who was writing a letter to a community of followers would kind of introduce himself and then identify the audience and then pray a blessing upon them. But Paul's introduction and salutation is all focused on Christ. So the very simple truth that we glean out of God's word this morning, write this down, we experience God's best life when we identify with God's Son. We experience God's best life, because that's what we're talking about, book of Ephesians, when we identify with God's Son. I want you to say three words with me. Say identity, energy, expression. Now, why did I make you say those three words? Like, this guy makes us talk in service, all right? Because whatever commands your identity commands your energy. Okay, so if I identify myself as a Christ follower, I'm saying that's my identity. All right. Now, my identity should command my what? My energy. That's right. That means my choices, how I think, how I live, what I put in my body, how I act, how I relate to Chrissy, how I manage my holiness, how I pursue Christ. If that's my truest identity, then my identity manages my energy. Now, you have no problem understanding that, because if you ever follow sports or see a sports team, they identify as the name of a team, and that team follows a playbook, okay? So their identity commands their energy. We're executing this book, guys, gals. We're running these plays. And that's where we see a simple introduction is so powerful, where Paul's saying, hey, I'm identified with Christ. You're identified with Christ. Grace and peace come from a relationship with Christ. Our identity commands our energy, which leads to an expression. Okay, that's the third part of it. Okay, so if I have a relationship with Jesus, that's my identity. I'm a Christ follower. I'm a Christian. All right, now that identity commands my energy, all right, in all areas of my life. Not some areas, but all areas of my life. That's who I am. All right, and then when I express energy based on my identity, people will see an expression. Now, that's God's best life, where you understand your identity, you commit your energy to where your identity is, and it leads to an expression of God's best life. You're in sync, identity and energy. That's why Jesus would say things like, why do you call me Lord, Lord, there's identity, and not do what I say? There's activity. Right? It's just like, wait, I have a disconnect with you because you call me Lord, Lord, but the disconnect is in your activity. And so God expects us, if we want to live his best life, to identify with his Son. Question, are you identified with the Son? Some of you are here and you're seeking, okay? And you're not identified. You wouldn't self-identify. Hey, I'm a Christ follower. I'm just checking it out. Good for you. We're so glad you're here. Now, a lot of you in the room are here exactly because you are identified with Christ. Time to start putting your energy where your identity is. Amen? Amen? All right, let's go to the next verse. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. All right? Everybody say, every spiritual blessing.
Every spiritual blessing.
Okay, now if we track back to the first phrase of the verse, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For what? Every spiritual blessing, all right? So what is the simple, distilled principle that we would glean from people who have been blessed by God? Blessed people bless God. Can we say that together? Blessed people bless God. That's right. If you've been blessed, if somebody does something for you, or maybe you can just track back to Christmas, which was just a few weeks ago, all right? And you got overwhelmed, what are the words coming out of your mouth when somebody gives you a present? Thank you so much. This is so great. You are so thoughtful, all right? Now, if we do that in normal relationships, we should do that with God, because God has given us eternal life in his Son, and we just read 14 verses of how he's blessed us. That's why here at Crossline Church, we are passionate worshipers, and we do not apologize. Why? Because we're doing the end zone dance over what God has done.
Amen.
For us. That's why Pastor Greg and I are up here jumping all around, dancing. Pastor JP is pointing at the back wall. You know, I'm doing the touchdown. You know, Pastor Greg's holding the television, you know, because he's a big man. Experience God's best life based on verse 3 by recognizing and responding to what God has done. Simple. Identify with God's son. Recognize and respond to what God has done for you, what God is doing for you right now, the blessings that you have right now. So many times we think in the gaps, don't we? Where we obsess over what we don't have versus thank God for what we do have, you know? And man, we have so much in Christ Jesus. That's the principle of verse 3. That's a blessing, and there's a belief and a behavior that goes with that blessing. We respond. Let's move on to verse 4. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." So when you read that verse, why did God choose us? It's very simple, and it's right there in black and white. To be holy and blameless, right? What does that mean? Let's demystify it, okay? Write this down. We experience God's best life when we make it our goal to please God in everything. That's what holiness and blamelessness is about. It's a pursuit. Is it perfection? No, because you're not gonna be perfected until it's like, hey, Jesus, this is a nice place you have here. All right. That's when you're going to be perfected. It's when your heart stops and you go to heaven. That's a place of perfection. On earth, we're working it out. Amen? But we're in a pursuit of pleasing God, right? Examining our lives, examining our relationships, examining what God is giving and going, hey, how can I please God with what he's given me? How can I please God in my relationships? How can I please God with my energy? How can I please God at work? How can I please God in my marriage? By going to Marriage Matters. Okay, but that's where we got to make it our goal. Now, Jesus modeled this for us, okay? Jesus said, the one who sent me, he's with me. He hasn't abandoned me, for I always do what pleases him. Did you hear those words? These are the words of Jesus. These are in the red letters. For I always do what pleases him. So if we're identified with Jesus and Jesus lives in us, doesn't it make sense that if he lives in you, that you would want to do things that please him? That's holiness, men and women. That's holiness when you desire to please God. You know, Pastor Paul, he had a congregation in Ephesus that he was kind of helping co-pastor, and then he had this congregation in Corinth, and in 2 Corinthians 5:9, he says this, so we make it our goal to please him. Okay, so what's the goal of the believer? Well, if the believer is chosen to be holy and blameless in his sight, then God's best life is making it our goal to please him in everything. Did you catch those last two words? In everything. All right, now I got a long way to go, and I'm sure you do too. But there's room to grow. Can we agree on that? There's room to grow. I don't care if you've known Jesus for 3 days or 30 years or 40 or 50 years. There's room to grow. And so we make it our goal to please him in everything. All right, let's go to the next verse. It says, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of his will. If you're taking notes, circle adoption to sonship. Now, that includes everybody. I know it says sonship. It doesn't say daughtership. But all the Bible is saying is that, you know, in Jesus's day, when you were adopted to sonship in that culture, you may have been outside the family as a man, and then you get adopted into sonship, and then you get first family status. And that's really what the Apostle Paul is communicating, whether you're a woman or a man. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, you get adopted into his family and you receive sonship, which means your status is that of first family. Everybody say first family. First family. Now, my kids, they're my first family, right? They're my blood. All right? So if you're a luck, you get access, right, to everything that's mine. You also have accountability to me, and you get abundance. Everything that's mine is yours, all right? My kids understand that. They don't like analyze it or think too hard about it. Why? Because I'm their dad. They're part of the family. They don't like knock on the door to come in, or they don't like ask if they can open the fridge or whatever. They just go because they're a part of the family. You know that that's how God wants you to act? It says he's predestined you for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Key words, through Jesus Christ. You wanna experience God's best life as a First family member? You gotta come through Jesus. Amen. You gotta say yes to Jesus. That's how you get in. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So Paul is saying, hey, if you're in Christ, the blessing is that you're adopted. So how do I experience God's best life? Write this down. Live and think like a family member. Amen. Live and think like a family member. My kids would leave to go to elementary school, junior high, and high school, and they'll probably be talking about it in therapy later on. But I would always say, hey, and they'd like, Dad, what? Remember, you're Luck. Lucks love God and help people. Thanks, Dad. Kaboom. Right? I'm still saying it because they're part of our family. I want them to live and I want them to think like a family member. You know what God says to us through his word? Remember who you are, just like Mufasa in The Lion King. Remember who you are. Remember the family that you belong to. Remember that you're my child. Remember that I created you. Remember that my intention is for you. Remember who you are. Live and think like a family member. Okay, let's go on to verse 6. All these blessings that we have translate into beliefs and behaviors. It says, to the praise of his glorious grace. What kind of grace? Glorious grace. Which he has freely given us in the one he loves. That's Jesus. Now, the most famous Christian song of all time is Amazing what? Grace. That's right. Why? Because the writer was overwhelmed that in spite of what he had done as a slave owner, God forgave him. And he was just like we sang, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless, counterintuitive, why did you do that, love of God? He was so just overwhelmed that God could love me after what I've done. Oh my gosh. And so he wrote a song called Amazing Grace. I want to know why, because the definition of grace is favor bestowed on the undeserving. Have you ever felt undeserving at any point in your life and then somebody just said, hey, don't worry about it. I forgive you. Didn't that feel good? You know what? God's done that eternally in Christ. That's a mind blower. If you let that sink for about 19 inches from here to here, man, that'll get you. That God has given us his grace. He's bestowed all of his favor. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see all your faults. He doesn't see all your sin. He doesn't see your shortcomings or your flaws. He just sees the white, wonderful holiness and purity of his son, Jesus, because you've said yes to him and you've given your life to him and you've received his person and work. Boy, that's the blessed life, isn't it? It's wonderful. Now, the application is this. We experience God's best life by enjoying and freely giving away his grace. You know, when someone does something nice for you, you have to kind of get past that point of, oh, that's too much, to they finally prevail on you and they just go, man, just enjoy it. Okay. You got to enjoy God's grace. You got to enjoy, you know, that forgiveness. Enjoy. But then there's this part that God models for us, and it's right there in the verse, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. That's why Jesus says, freely you have received, freely what? Give. Right. Because when you are given much, and then the giver of much looks at you, and you didn't even deserve the much that you received, and then he sees you being greedy after you've been given much. That's why Jesus tells the parable of the debtor, right? A guy gets all of his debt forgiven, owes a lot of money, gets it forgiven. Then he goes out and chokes his buddy that owes him a nickel, right? And gives him a hard time. Then the guy who forgave him a million sees him choking his friend for a nickel and then just gets really upset, all right? Or Jesus says, you know, there was a guy who owed 500 denarii and a guy who owed 5 denarii. Who do you think is going to respond with bigger love toward the forgiver, the guy who owed 500 or the guy who owed 500, right? And then he says, he who has been forgiven much loves much. right? So have we all, as believers in Jesus, been given much? So what's our responsibility? Love much, right? Give grace away. So the simple application, man, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given. If Christ freely gave us grace, it's such a natural thing to assume, hey, you freely given, freely give it away. All right, let's go to the next verse, verses 7 and 8. It says, in him, there's that phrase you're gonna see a lot in Ephesians. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he what? Lavished on us. Here we go, another blessing. It's overwhelming what God does for us. That word lavish is to overwhelm someone with kindness. God has overwhelmed us with his kindness. He's redeemed us. He's forgiven us of our sin. He's unpacked all his riches of his grace, and he's lavished on us this forgiveness. So when we see these words, how do we experience God's best life if he's given all that redemption and forgiveness to us? Well, confess your sin and receive forgiveness. If God's the generous giver of redemptive love and forgiveness, the application very simply is confess sin and receive forgiveness. Now, is that how we start our relationship with Jesus Christ, by confessing sin and asking for forgiveness? Yes or no? Yes. That's how you begin a relationship with Christ. You confess, God, I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I receive Christ and I receive the forgiveness that you offer me in him. How do you sustain your relationship with God? Doing the same thing. God, I blew it today. I confess my sin. Thank you that you've forgiven me. I receive your forgiveness and love. Fill me with your spirit once again that I could serve you and love you and live your best life. How we start our relationship with God is how we sustain our relationship with God. All right, because why? Because he's redeemed us and he's continuing to actively redeem us and grow us, because we're still making mistakes, amen? I'm still making mistakes. So I need to practice confession and receive God's forgiveness on a daily basis. So there's an application there for verses 7 and 8. Confess and receive forgiveness. Next verse, verses 8 and 9. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. So here we see God giving his wisdom. He makes it simple for us. I'm glad that God made it simple. He said, there's me, I'm gonna send my son, and he's gonna tell you exactly how to relate to me and how to live. Simple. Right? What is the application here for experiencing God's best life? Write this down. Accept God's wisdom and pursue his purpose. If the mystery of his will, all right? And that's where people overcomplicate it. It's just like, well, I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if I should do that. I don't know if I should make this decision. I don't know if I should make this choice. I'm tempted. Should I dive into the temptation, or should I say no to the temptation? Okay, God's made it really simple. Do that thing which shows love for him and people. That's gonna express itself in different ways and in different contexts. But accept God's wisdom. Where do you find God's wisdom? You find God's wisdom in God's word, okay? And in the person of Christ. He's given you his wisdom. He's made it simple, all right? What's my responsibility? What's my application? To accept God's wisdom and to pursue his purpose. That's why Jesus would say things, all things that belong to the Father are mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from me and give to you. Okay, I'll make it simple for you. All right, so accept God's wisdom and pursue his purpose. All right, we are at verse 10 already. Let's read that. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. Listen, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Now, I want you to say two phrases with me. Say all things, say under Christ. One more time, all things, under Christ. See, the Bible teaches that everything that you see, every person that you see, every event that's happening, all things are by him, from him, through him, and to him. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. He's the one who was there and who spoke and things came into being. The Bible says that Jesus is the vine and you're the branch. The Bible says that Jesus is the shepherd and you're the sheep. Okay? The Bible says that Jesus is the potter and you're the clay. All right? Everything comes under Christ. Where is history headed? Under Christ. Where is your life headed? Under Christ. Whether you believe that or not, he is going to stand there at the end. He's going to be on the throne at the end. He's the one who you're going to stand face to face with at the end. He's the one who's going to rule and reign at the end. Everything is by him, from him, to him, and through him. So it might be a good idea, write this down, to live fully surrendered to Christ. It's a good idea. Because I don't want you to arrive at that moment as your pastor where you're living an unsurrendered life. You're in Christ, but at the moment he comes for you, you are not surrendered to him. You still get in. You're still a part of the family. But man, you know what I want? I want you to feel the excitement of obedience. I want you to feel the excitement of pleasing God. Feel the excitement of, man, when he comes for me, I'm going to be surrendered to him fully. And guess what? That full surrender is going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Might cost you some friends, might cost you some money, might cost you some time, might cost you your schedule, might cost you your pride. But man, does it ever please God. So God's best life is experienced when we live fully surrendered to Christ. Next verse, verse 11, it says, in him, everybody say in him. In him. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Wow. Some of you walked in the tabernacle tent here of Crossline Church not feeling really good. Some of you are like on the next part of the continuum. You have a diagnosis. I don't know if I'm so thankful for that. Some of you walked in as couples physically, but you're distanced emotionally. Okay, some of you walked in as families, but yet there's distance and chaos and some dysfunction in those relationships that's causing an environment or a vibe that's going on. Question, is God using everything and working everything out according to his purpose, yes or no? Of course he is. Want to know why? I can tell you that with supreme confidence, because God worked this out. When you're standing and seeing the torture and execution of perfect love, that is counterintuitive. People looking at Jesus hanging there on that cross just went, that doesn't make sense. But was God working everything out for you and me in that this doesn't make sense moment? 100%. So I don't know what doesn't make sense to you in your life. I don't know what struggle you have that you're scratching your head about. But can I just tell you to come to the foot of the cross? And they'll look at this and you just go, man, God, I don't know how you're gonna do it, but I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna praise you before my breakthrough. I'm gonna offer you the sacrifice of praise because you can. If you can work that out, you certainly can work this thing out in my life that doesn't make sense to me. This health thing, this relational thing, this life thing, this financial thing. I'm going to trust your word that says God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love you. I'm going to say right now, I love you and I trust you because you worked it all out for me up there. Amen? All right, so what's the application? Okay, God's best life is experienced when you believe God can use everything for his purpose. That's why Jesus can say, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So get your eyes off of your circumstances and put them on to the God who makes all things possible. All right, next verse, okay? In order that we, verse 12, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, say put our hope in Christ, put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. So, when we came to Christ, were we asked to put our hope in him? Yes or no? Yes. That's right. We're going to put our hope in Christ. Again, we're at that principle of how we begin the faith is how we sustain the faith. So every day, right, when we first put our hope in Christ, the application is today, what does God want us to do? Put our hope in Christ. That's right. Here's the thing. How do you do that? You say, Kenny, how do you put your hope in Christ every day? Well, I'll tell you how I do it. I say these words every day when I wake up, and you can join me if you want. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, that's where I set my heart on the things above. I set my mind on the things above where Christ is. And I go from this place of, okay, I'm a ship without a rudder, to I'm grabbing the rudder. And I'm going to direct it into God's purposes. But I have to speak and commit and tell my soul, this is the direction that you're headed. Can I encourage you as a discipline in 2019 to wake up every day and quote Psalm 118:24? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in him. You know, where you just set your heart and where you set your mind. You know, the Bible says that God knows the plans he has for you, right? He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare, not calamity, to give you a future and a what? Hope. There it is. There's that word. So it says here, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ, as we do that to get into the faith, God says he knows the plan, and then we need to come under the plan, and we need to put our hope in him who has the plan. So what's God's best life? Write this down. Put your hope daily in Christ and his plan. Pretty simple. You know, Jesus would issue invitations. He'd say, come to me if anyone comes to me, whoever comes to me. Now, if you're issuing invitations and nobody's coming, you get a pretty strong indication that they don't want to be with you. But Jesus invites us to put our hope in him every day, saying, come to me, whoever comes to me, put your hope in me. All right, next verse. Okay, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ. Say, included in Christ. Included in Christ. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. All right? So the Bible is talking about this life. You're included in Christ. And then the Bible says that when that moment happened, God put the Spirit of his Son inside of you. All right? And it's a two-step process. It's hearing the message and believing. Okay, we're back to that principle of first actions. In a relationship, when you received Christ and entered God's family, what'd you have to do? You had to hear and you had to believe, okay? What do you have to do as a Christian who's walking with Jesus? You have to hear and believe. That's right. The question is, are we doing the very things that we did at first? Because the Bible says, you know, when you heard the message and then when you believed, that's when the Holy Spirit showed up. There's a principle in this. When you hear the word of God and you believe the word of truth, who shows up? The Holy Spirit. Some of you aren't experiencing God's power because you're hearing God's message, but you're not believing it through your behaviors. And so you're wondering where this powerful life is, these breakthroughs, all right? Well, it happens when you hear the message and you believe. And in the Bible, belief is synonymous with behavior. Why? Because beliefs don't become convictions until you actually live them out. And that's where the power shows up. It's where you go, God, I trust you so much. I know this doesn't make sense to me right now, but I'm gonna do what you're asking me to do. That's when the power shows up. Why? Because God blesses faith. All right? So what is God's best life? Write this down. It's to stay in Christ by hearing and believing truth. You know, we've provided so many ways for you to stay in Christ by hearing and believing the truth in your life stage. If you're a young adult, please go to Doubting Your Doubts tonight. If you're a man, please come to a call study. If you're a woman, please get to Heartline Women's Ministry at our church. If you're a married couple, please come to Marriage Matters and get built up in your faith. Why wouldn't you do that? Because it's a place where you can hear the truth and believe the truth and believe it in a community that's gonna hold you accountable to the truth, right? That's what we need. We need people to know us, see us, and help us believe and hear the truth. That's why Jesus says things like, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice can be compared to a wise man who built his house on a what?
Rock.
That's right, that's God's best life. It's a firm foundation. It's a solid existence. It's solid, it's confident. Why? Because I'm in Christ, which means I'm experiencing God's intention and God's revealing it to me by me hearing and believing his truth. Next verse 14. Ooh, last verse. Here we are. I'm going to go back to verse 13 because there's a sentence that I want to connect. It says, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Then it describes what that means. Who is a deposit? Everybody say a deposit. Deposit. Guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. If you're taking notes, circle guaranteeing our inheritance. Anybody in this room ever played poker? Raise your hand. It's okay, we're in church. It's okay, I played poker. If you have a royal flush and you got a ton of chips in front of you, what are you doing with those chips? Call. I'll see your 50 and I will raise you 10 million. Why? Because you got a royal flush. So because you know you're guaranteed to win the hand, are you risking big with your chips? Yes. See, all the conservative poker players just said, nah, I'm folding. I got a royal flush, I'm folding. When you know you got a royal flush, man, it's all in. It's just like, I got you, and I'm going to take all your money, and you don't know that I have a royal flush in my hand. But I have to keep my poker face on. See, that's what the Bible is saying. The Bible says that you know through the Holy Spirit that you're going to heaven. And when you know that you're going to heaven, you risk it all on earth. Amen? When you know that you're going to win, when you know that what you do for Christ is going to last, when you know that you can store up treasures in heaven by your choices and how you invest your time and your talent and your treasure, when you know that you're going to stand before Jesus, you're going to be with him forever, you're going to be with your family forever, when you know that you're in him, you can push it all into the table. That's why Jesus said the person who seeks to save their life, in other words, take some of it back, will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will find true life. Everybody say, find true life. You see, that's living God's best life. When you have heaven guaranteed, you risk on earth. You're all in. That's experiencing God's best life. That's the community of believers that we're building here at Crossline. People who are all in. So I don't know if you're here and you're not a Christian. You're just checking it out. You just need to know that we're committed to this thing called a relationship with Jesus. We're committed to living life in him. We're committed to his word. We're committed to actively living it out in the spaces where we find ourselves. We're committed to hearing and believing truth. We're committed to heaven. And because we're committed to heaven and know we're going there, man, we're risking it all on earth. So here's a little self-assessment for you. I want you to assess your life right now. Got three categories: not in him, parts in him, fully in him. Now, if you fall into the not in him, that's okay. I'm so glad you're here because I want you to be in him. You know, there's a life where if your life was a circle and there was a throne on it, Christ would be outside that life. And that means you're not in him. But then there's this other life and there's a little throne in it and then there's a little cross sitting on the throne. That's Christ in the life. Can I just ask you, which circle best represents your life? And if it's this one, I'm going to ask you, which circle do you want to represent your life? And I pray that it's this one. Because God made you, he created you, you're made by him and for him to experience this abundant life that Christ offers you. So assess yourself honestly, not in him. Now let's go to parts in him. A lot of you in this room are Christians. You say, if I ask you, are you a Christ follower? You go, yep. But you know, you're living the 95-5, 90-10, 80-20 life. Parts of your life are in Christ, but you're not all in. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And God's speaking to you right now. And he said, I don't want parts of you. I want all of you. So if that's you, congratulations, welcome to the team. I've been in that seat too. And God wants you to repent. He wants you to change how you think about your relationship with him. And he wants you to fully commit to a life in him. Now, there's fully in him. I don't know that anybody can mark a 10 because we're imperfect, but if you're up toward that end of the scale, praise the Lord. It's by God's grace that you're there. All right. Now, from God's perspective, what is God's best life? Not in him, parts in him, or fully in him? What's the answer? Fully in him. Yeah, you pull up that 10 on that next answer. You know what's so wonderful about God's word? Is that it provides absolute crystal clarity about how we should be living our lives. And it comes from the Creator, the most trustworthy source. And so look at some of those fill-ins this week, okay? I know that you can't apply all of them. It's like drinking out of a fire hydrant. But there are some things that you can apply because the purpose of Revelation is, okay, you guys are getting it. Look at the questions that I put at the end of your notes. You know, when God says that his best life is in Jesus and in him, here's a question. If I'm not in him, do I want to be in him? I just laid that out for you. You can have Christ in your life this morning, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. If you are in Christ, do you appreciate fully all that God has done for you? And are you expressing that appreciation back to God in your worship and in the way you think and live? Simple question. God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. That's what God has done. What's your response to what God has done? Next question. What personal changes in my thinking need to be made in order for me to enter this space of living God's best life? Think about the truths next to the fill-ins where it says God's best life. Think about those truths this week. Take this outline for coffee and hang with Jesus for a little bit and reread it and meditate on it and think deeply and continuously about your life and God's truth. Last question, what community of people will I connect to, share with, and allow to hold me accountable for living God's best life? You see, we're a community here. We're not a bunch of lone rangers and lone sisters or whatever you want to call that. We're a community of people. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. We're a body, and we've created spaces for you to connect in community as couples, as men, as women, as young adults, as students. Get there, all right? Because you want to live God's best life. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads. Let's ask God to come into this space right now. He's here. He's with us. He's been speaking. And I know that God has been speaking to some of you very clearly. Some of you are not in him. The Bible says that he who has the Son has the life. I write this so that you may know that you have eternal life. God's eternal life can start right now for you. All you have to do is say yes. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in to him and be with him." Is that your desire this morning? Then you might want to say right now to Jesus in prayer, just you and God, this is your moment. Say, "Jesus, today I open the door to life in you. I open the door to your forgiveness. I open the door to your spirit. I open the door to your purpose. I receive you and what you have done for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for coming into my heart. Thank you for never leaving me or forsaking me. All that I am, all that I have, all that I hope, I place all in to you." And there are some of you this morning, you know what you have? You have possession of a relationship with Christ, but you do not have the expression. There's a disconnect for you. And you need to start trusting God's truth with some new and courageous choices. If that's you, why don't you commit to Jesus right now in this sacred space and say, "God, I'm going to start making some new choices. I have not been trusting your truth the way I should. Thank you for your grace. It is amazing. It receives me back when I wander. But I'm putting a stake in the ground today, January 6th, 2019, I'm going to start making some new courageous choices for you because you made the most courageous choice ever made for me by dying on your cross. I bet it all on you, Jesus." Father, for this community of believers, I pray that this would be a community that would live God's best life. God, that we would live it in Christ, that we would push all our chips to the table, that we would lose our lives for you so that we could find true life. This is our sincere desire as your church family. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.